Well, it's Pentecost today, that day when the Holy Spirit descended upon a group of people, Jews from every nation under heaven, as the book of Acts puts it, and made them into the church. Well, what was the first thing they did as the church on that first day as the church? They heard a sound from on high. To them, the heavens opened and there was a voice. Then they spoke. They preached. They testified to the great good that God was doing among them. Jesus sent to them his Holy Spirit down from his throne in heaven. And they, in turn, sent their prayers up to God. The crowd out in the street scoffed, saying, "They're drunk." The mob couldn't imagine God Almighty speaking to a bunch of ignorant, unlearned people. Nor could the crowd imagine mere maids, janitors, teenagers, old people preaching. There is a dynamic here, a movement that is at the heart of the Bible story about who we are and what we are doing here. God reaches down, speaks to us, enabling us to reach up to God, to speak to God. Downward from heaven, up from earth to God. You will note the same twofold movement in today's liturgy. The first part of our worship is mostly listening to God's word. We gather, we listen to Scripture, then we listen to the sermon. So much of Sunday worship is concerned with sitting and listening because that's the most difficult thing for us. Is there a word from the Lord? That's the question I see on your face every time I climb into the pulpit. Is there anything God has to say to me today? Frequently, people say they never have heard God say anything to them. Modern philosophers speak in terms of the Deus Abscondus, the God who hides, the God who absconds. But perhaps the problem is not that God has been removed from us, but that we have removed ourselves from God. We are bombarded by so many messages, so many words, sounds, signs, advertising, email, tweets, 24-hour television, text messaging. Is it any wonder that we don't hear the word of God amid this ringing, relentless, constant cacophony? We launch off in a liturgy on Sunday morning. Somebody's telephone goes off. We know instantly who's going to hell. Well, what am I to say to the person who says, "God has never spoken in my life. I've tried prayer. It's just like I'm talking to myself. I don't believe in God. Or at least I don't believe in a God with a voice." Well, I ask, when is the last time you've been to church? What is the spiritual discipline that you practice? And inevitably, the answers are not recently, none. It's like me saying, "I always wanted to win at Wimbledon, of course. I haven't been on a tennis court in years. I haven't picked up a racket in ages." Well, after all, tennis is just sort of stupid. So we have to gather here. We have to sit in silence. We have to focus our thoughts and attentions. And this is one of the great gifts of Sunday worship. As that great theologian Carly Simon said, to turn down the sound in your mind. Yet our listening, our yearning for a word, our need to focus and be attentive to God cannot obscure the great initial wonder behind this Sunday scripture. Our God speaks. If the Bible's testimony is as true as we believe it to be, then our God is a relentlessly, unceasingly self-communicative God. There is something about this God that loves to address and be addressed by humanity. Call it the loquaciousness of love. One sure sign that two people are in love is that they long to be with one another. More than that, they want to talk to one another. They talk to one another on the telephone, email, whatever hours upon hours of talk they can, they talk. And the talk is so important because our speech is our primary way of expressing ourselves, of sharing ourselves, of giving and receiving to others. And God seems to be that way with us. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends, just as the risen Christ promised. When the wondering crowd in the street asks, "What's all this ruckus about?" Peter makes reference to the prophet Joel's words. The prophets of Israel were one of the many ways that God attempts to speak to us. Every Sunday when we gather for worship, we gather under this promise, our God speaks. And there's another miracle here. Because God loves us enough to speak to us, we can speak to God. And I don't know which is more difficult, to hear God or to speak to God. Back to my analogy of human love. One of the greatest challenges of romance is finding the right words to say to another person. I've known people to spend weeks and months trying to screw up the courage to talk to someone to whom they're attracted. I once had a friend in junior high school who wrote out every word of a planned telephone conversation with a girl before he picked up the phone. Hello? Hello? What's up? Nothing? And so forth. It's hard to find the right words because it's hard to reveal ourselves, to say what we want to say and how to say it. And if this is true in our loving conversations with one another, how much more true in our conversations with God? As a priest, this is the reason people give me for not praying themselves. They say, "I don't know what to say or which words to use." So St. Paul says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, finds the words that we want to speak to God, which is rather incredible. The Holy Spirit is not only the way that God speaks to us, reveals himself to us, but also the way that we are enabled to speak to God. The Holy Spirit is that power, that gift of God that enables us to be in loving conversation with God. As we sing in that great hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, our loosened tongues employ." And that's the point of liturgical worship. You don't have to crank it up from scratch every week. No matter what mood you're in on Sunday morning, you just get on the train, and the liturgy will carry you all the way to the top of the mountain. The liturgy is nothing less than the footprints of where the Spirit has been in the past, leading us to where the Spirit will be in the future. There is a sign as you enter Winchester Cathedral in England that says, "You are entering a conversation that began long before you were born and will continue long after you're dead." To be a Christian partly means that we don't have to reinvent ourselves spiritually speaking. The Holy Spirit has been at work. We don't have to make up this faith as we go. The Holy Spirit has nurtured saints across 2,000 years, and they will teach us if we listen. And for modern North American people, to let the Spirit have its way with us in liturgy takes a kind of studied act of humility. To think that God has spoken through someone who's lived before we have and actually have something to learn from the saints. But the humility is well worth it because the Holy Spirit has spoken through them, and through them the Holy Spirit speaks to us. As G.K. Chesterton said once, one of the difficulties of modernity is that we keep talking about how free we are. We've freed ourselves from the past. All that does, said Chesterton, is that we've become slaves to that ignorant oligarchy of those who just happen to be walking around at this moment. Chesterton also said that being a traditionalist means a determination not to automatically dismiss any man's opinion outright just because he happens to be your father. Perhaps Thomas Cranmer knows more than I do. Through the Holy Spirit, God has been in conversation with us for 2,000 years. In our time, we take our place, singing our part in this duet between humanity and God, drawing on the lyrics and the music that's been part of the opus. What's your goal in the current diplomatic efforts? A reporter asked the Secretary of State. To get the people to the table to talk, she replied. Is that all? The reporter persisted. You know, I think that's enough, said the secretary. If we can just get people to talk to one another, about 90% of our diplomacy is accomplished. The rest is easy after that. Christianity is a revealed religion, which is a fancy way of saying that you don't get it. It gets you. You can't think about Jesus. He has to be given to you. Religion must come from on high. The best Bible study, the best listening to a sermon, is a form of prayer, a humble listening, waiting for the gift of God. And today, Pentecost, is the day when we gather to celebrate that relationship, to give thanks to God that, for across 100 years, in this place, at Wydown and Ellenwood, and across 2 millennia on this earth, God has been so communicative, so talkative, so lovingly, self-revealingly conversational. It's also the day that we find the words to praise God as we ought, to speak to God in words and music that are more beautiful than we ourselves could devise, so that God might speak to us in words more wonderful than we could devise. We are in a conversation with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who has enabled the discussion. Amen.